This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, I want you to open up your Bibles this morning with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12. And this morning, I'm going to start a brand new series over the next couple weeks, and I'm going to call this Hymns That Bring Us Hope. Hymns That Bring Us Hope. And this morning we're going to find ourselves in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and I'm going to read the first seven verses to us, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And what I want to do is take some of these old hymns that's been familiar to us over the years, and I want to use the theme or the title of the hymn and then preach a message to you and try to encourage you, because if there's one thing that we need during this time, we need hope. We need God to help us through this difficult, awful, terrible time that we're going through. And I have found that music is a way to help encourage our soul, that music is a way to help bless us. And so this morning, I'm going to preach a message entitled, Is It Well With My Soul? Is It Well With My Soul? And I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 down to verse number 7. The Bible says, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When the sun, or while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease, because they are a few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the street. The sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Listen now. Tyler talked about this in his Sunday school lesson this morning. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth, the Bible says, as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon wraps up this entire chapter in chapter 12 and verse number 13 by saying, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Listen to what he says. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This morning I want to talk about, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and in a few moments I'm going to have you watch a video. And the creation of this song was birthed out of tragedy. And it's a song that was birthed out of tragedy that actually gave a lot of hope to one man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Spafford was a Chicago businessman, a lawyer that was living in Chicago. His business was wrecked and ruined by the Great Chicago Fire. And then after that happened, there was tragedy after tragedy that took place in his life. And as a result, God gave him grace and comfort. And he was able to write this wonderful hymn that we enjoy singing, It Is Well With My Soul. I'm going to pray, we're going to watch a video, and then I'm going to preach a message. Why? It is important for you to know it is well with your soul. Why is it important for you to know this morning that it is well with your soul? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I bless your holy name, and I ask you to lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord, as we go into this sermon, may I tell the people that are listening and show them the importance of knowing why it should be well with their soul. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It is well with my soul. If you're still with us here this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verses 1 down to verse number 7. And just real quickly, I'm going to read just a couple of verses for you again. Verse number 1, to keep you up to breast where we're at, the Bible says, "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth." Verse number 7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Then it says in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now, the hymn that we're looking at today was penned out of great tragedy and sorrow and even death. All four of Horatio Spafford's daughters, Tanita, Maggie, Anna, and Bessie, they were all among the 226 people who drowned on that tragic day. On the return trip back to Cardiff, Wales, as Horatio Spafford went to unite back with his wife, they say that he stood on the deck of that vessel for hours and hours, just staring and peering at the water. As they went across the approximate spot where his daughters had drowned, the captain came out and told him it was in this area where the tragedy happened. He began to look at the water, and he peered at the water and gazed at the water, and his mind and his thoughts and his heart were upon his daughters. And at that moment, as he was looking at the water, And at that moment, as he was thinking about his dear family that drowned in that tragedy, the God of heaven gave him grace, and the God of heaven gave him hope. And in his soul, there were some words that was stirring up on the inside of his heart. And the words are some of those famous words found within the hymn, "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Now, this is a wonderful picture of hope that is birthed out of tragedy. This is a wonderful picture of grace that is birthed out of tragedy. God, in that tragic moment, God, in that horrible moment in that man's life, gave him hope, gave him mercy, and gave him grace. And I want you to know this morning, that's the God that you and I serve. God gives us grace. God gives us hope within our time of need. When tragedy surrounds us, when circumstances are uncertain, when the future looks awful bleak, our God loves us so much that he pours grace and mercy and comfort down deep within our souls. This is the God that you and I serve. God loves us today. Listen, he loves you too much to hurt you. And he is too wise to make a mistake. In the sovereign plan of God, God used this tragedy for his ultimate glory and to teach Horatio Spafford something that we all need to know, that it needs to be well with my soul in times of adversity. It would be later that the words would be pinned to this wonderful hymn, and I'll not sing the song to you because I don't want you to turn the program off, but let me read the words to you to this wonderful hymn. The hymn says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan shall buffet, though trial shall come, let the blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the clouds shall be rolled back as a scroll." Listen now, "the trumpet shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." One writer, he described the events of Spafford's life, and he said, "Inner peace through an implicit trust in the love of God is the real evidence of a mature Christian faith." He said, "Only with this kind of confidence in his heavenly Father could Horatio Spafford experience such heart-rending tragedies as he did and yet be able to say, it is well with my soul." The question that I'm asking you this morning today, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul when tragedy strikes? Can you say it is well? Is it well with you when uncertainty abounds? Can you say it is well? Can you say it is well when death comes knocking at your door? Can you say it is well? No matter what the circumstances of life, no matter what happens in life, whether it is tragedy or triumph, whether it is peace or persecution, I can say within my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. Can you say that today? That's the question that I want you to ponder throughout the entire sermon. Is it well with my soul? If you were to die today, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you would not go to hell, but that you would enter into the wonderful pearly gates of heaven? Can you say today, preacher, it is well with my soul? I know that we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to talk about death. We don't even like to hear about death. Many people even try at all costs just to avoid the subject of death. I've done thousands of funerals in the years of my ministry, and in every single funeral that I have, it seems like everybody grieves in a different manner. Some people won't even attend the funeral of a family because grief has stricken them so much, they just can't put themselves within that environment. It's too hard for them to even come together with family and to grieve because their soul is so grief-stricken. I've seen people grieve in many different ways, and the reason why is we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to hear about death. We don't like to have death on our mind. But you need to know this morning. Here's the simple fact of life. If the rapture tarries, then every person has an appointment with death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. If the rapture of the church tarries and the Lord doesn't come back, then everybody listening within the sound of my voice, there's coming a day, friend, that you are going to die. When you are faced with death, when you are faced with tragedy, can you say this morning, it is well with my soul? Everybody is going to die, some sooner, some later, but ultimately, everybody is going to die. Death is no respect of person. It comes to the young and it comes to the old. It doesn't matter what stage you are in life, whether you're a young child, whether you're in your mid-20s, a teenager, a young married, or an older person, death is no respect of person. Death will come knocking on our door, as I said, some sooner, some later, but ultimately, everybody's going to have an appointment with death. That's why the words of this song is so important to us. This song gives us hope. It's the reason why we sing it in church. This song gives us hope because it is derived from Scripture. It is embedded in the pages of the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that one day the heavens are going to open like a scroll. And there in the midst of the heavens on a milk-white stallion is going to be hope. You and I know him better as the name Jesus. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Know this today. Christ is coming back. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day the heavens will open up as a scroll. And the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ is going to rise. And then all of us that are alive and remain, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then, friend, the Bible is teaching that Christ will mount upon a milk-white stallion, and he will ride from the heavens, invading earth. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives, and he will declare himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is greatly, greatly to be praised here this morning. The Bible teaches us about hope. And so this morning, I want to talk about this hymn that helps us, this hymn that guides us and helps us along and brings us hope. And I'm asking the question this morning, is it well with your soul? I want to give you three reasons this morning, as you're listening and you're tuned in, I want to give you three reasons why you should be able to say, it is well with my soul. Why is it important to say, it is well with my soul? Here's the reason why it's important. Number one, because death is approaching. Because death is approaching. Now, the Bible tells us a lot about the subject of death, and one passage in particular is found in the New Testament, and James tells us this about death. And I don't have it up on the screen, so listen with me. James chapter number 4 in verses 13 to verse number 15. The Bible says, go to now, even that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Listen to verse 14 now. Listen what the Bible says. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. As a matter of fact, you don't know what's going to happen today. You can make plans. You can set your calendar. You can try to do all sorts of things. But you do not know what's going to happen today, and you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? He says, it's even like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Are you listening to the Bible this morning? The Bible is saying that your life is like a vapor. It is here today and it is gone tomorrow. That's why the Bible teaches that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to put your faith and your hope and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to delay at the end of this service. You don't need to wait until tomorrow or the next week or the next service. You need to bow your head right now where you're at and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to your life. You have no idea what's going to happen in the next few moments in your life. Are you ready? Can you say, it is well with my soul? You need to say that because death is approaching. And here's what I want you to see this morning. In the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it is probably one of the most poetic looks at the aging process throughout the entire Bible. Solomon is talking about us getting older and approaching that day of death. And he is telling us in verses 1 to verse number 7 how you and I need to understand this and then how you and I can prepare for it in verse 13 by fearing God, keeping his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I want you to see this with me. Notice this, what the Bible says. You say, Brother David, why should I say it's well with my soul? Here it is, number one, remember, because death is approaching. And in those days that are approaching, there are several days that we're going to face in our lifetime. First of all, there's going to be dark days that's going to happen in my life and your life. Dark days. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Listen now, dark days. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8 again. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. The days of darkness. You know, when we're younger, it seems like it's days of light. And we're young, we have our strength, we're able to do and to go and be what we want to be. We have our youth, we have our strength, and we have that charisma to get up and go. But the older that we get, we find that there are days of darkness. I personally went through some days of darkness myself. Last year was a very difficult year of darkness for our family. I lost my mother in April, and then my father passed away in November. Then come January, because of all the stress and the grief and the load that I was under, come January, I found myself in the hospital, unable to walk. I was in a wheelchair. My blood sugar was up high. I had a terrible attack with gout. I had other things going on with my cholesterol, and I found myself just out of whack. And what's happening was I was going through a dark day. Now, in the days of my youth, when I was a lot younger, well, I had happy days with mom and dad. We could go and we could do things. We could go picnic. We could go on vacation. We could laugh together. We could play music together. And those younger days were wonderful days. But the older that I'm getting, I find out that there are some dark days that I'm going to have to face. This morning, you might be going through some dark days. Some of our church family is going through some dark days. They're dealing with their health. They're dealing with this or they're dealing with that. In the days of your youth, it seemed like it was happy-go-lucky. But the older we get, the Bible says we need to remember the days of darkness because they are approaching. The Bible talks about not only dark days, but also difficult days. And we're going through some difficult days today. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Watch what the Bible says. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Listen now, while the evil days come not. You know, suffering is a form of evil within our lives. The younger we are, it seems like we have our vitality, we have our youth, but as the days go by, we begin to suffer, and we go through dark days, and we go through difficult days. There are some of you right now, you're going through some very, very difficult days. I had a young man in our church call me this week, and we had just talked together on the phone for a little bit, and he just said, you know, my faith, my spiritual strength, it's failing me. I'm watching you every service. I'm logged in with my family. Preacher, it's not the same. And I know it's not the same. And it's difficult for us. Many of our church family that's logged in right now, that's watching, I know that many of you would rather be here. You want to sing in the choir. You want to be in your Sunday school class. You want to sit back in the pew. You want to worship. But listen, God is not contained within the building. Amen? God's not contained within the building. God is within your heart. And if you will call upon him today and ask God to help you, I believe that he will. I tried encouraging that brother, and he encouraged me. We wept together on the phone, and I know that we're going through some dark days. We're going through some difficult days. These are days of hurt. There are people without a job. There are people that are losing income. Some people within our church that I've talked to, their retirement, they've lost their entire retirement due to the economy collapsing. These, without a doubt, are dark days. These, without a doubt, they are difficult days. And the Bible says, remember the days of darkness, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8. He says, remember, while the evil days come not, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Not only does he talk about dark days and difficult days, but he also talks about dying days, that there's going to come a time that you are going to die. You say, preacher, why is it important for me to say it is well with my soul? It's important because death is approaching. You know, the older that we get, the more closer we get to death. Maybe that's why Solomon, as he begins to write about this in chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Maybe the reason why he told us to remember, because the first thing that begins to slip is the mind. What did I just say? Just kidding. The first thing that begins to slip is the mind. And maybe that's why Solomon said, in the days of thy youth, he says to remember. I like what one guy said, one old gentleman put it this way. He said, I can see with my bifocals, my dentures work just fine. I can live with my arthritis, but I sure do miss my mind. Seems like the first thing that goes is our mind. Our mind begins to slip. Our body begins to deteriorate as we are getting older. So is it well with your soul? Because death is approaching. Notice what Solomon says. Solomon describes the aging process like a decaying house. And he says in verse number 2, this may refer to the day of death, or it may refer to failing eyesight. But this is what he has to say in verse number 2. He said, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now that verse may refer to a day of death, but it could refer to failing eyesight. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. That is, the older that we get, our eyesight begins to fail. Look at verse number 3. He describes the loss of strength in verse number 3. In the days when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they are a few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the body being like a decaying house. And he's saying that verse 3, he describes a loss of strength, first of all, in the arms. There's a loss of strength in the arms the older that we get. He calls it the keepers of the house. That the arms and the hands keeps the body strong. It helps to feed us. It helps to work. He talks about losing strength within the arms. And then he talks about losing strength in the legs. Notice what he says. He says, the strong men shall bow themselves. That is, they're going to bow. That is, the knees are going to bow. They're going to rock a little bit. And the older that we get, we lose strength in our arms and our hands. The older that we get, we lose strength within our legs. The other day, my family was meeting together, and my father-in-law was there at the house, and as he was walking through the living room, he literally almost stumbled and fell because his legs are so weak. I found out in January when I had that pain with gout and the pain within my Achilles tendon with the tendonitis, that my legs, the older I get, they're getting weak. This is what Solomon is talking about. He's saying that the older that you get, your eyesight's going to begin to fail. The older that you get, you're going to have loss of strength in your arms and your legs. Then he says the grinders shall cease because they are a few. He's talking about the teeth. Now, if you're from Alabama, you don't have to worry about this. Just kidding. All my Alabama wonderful friends, I love you, all right? Go Vols, right? But he says, the grinders shall cease because they are a few. He's talking about loss of teeth, loss of strength in the legs, loss of strength in the arms. Then notice what he says, those looking through the windows. He's talking about poor eyesight. He's saying as death approaches, the body is like a house. And it begins to decay. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 alludes to the loss of hearing and even sleeplessness that at the most minute sound will awake you in the middle of the night in verse number 4 and perhaps bring some fear. He says in verse number 4, he's talking about the general loss, or 5, the general loss of courage, confidence, and even the sexual drive that an individual has the older that they get, that these things begin to fail. Then finally, he says in verse 6 and verse 7, he tells us that death is portrayed like a shattering vessel where the contents are emptied out. That your life is like a vessel that's been shattered and life has been poured out and you will be no more on the earth. Why is it important to say it is well with my soul? Because death is approaching. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. Oh, ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, talking about life being broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall dust return to the earth. Your life is spilled out. And the Bible says, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Why is he telling us this? Because death is approaching. And friend, I'm going to ask you this morning, can you say, it is well with my soul? First of all, you need to understand death is approaching. Second of all, here's the reason why you need to say, it is well with my soul. Not only because death is approaching, but because destiny is awaiting. There is a destiny or an eternity that is awaiting. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 5. Watch this now. Because man goeth to his long home. Notice that within your text. I want you to underline that. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. You see that phrase, his long home, in verse number 5? There may be three words in English, but it's only one word in the Hebrew, and it's the word olam. The word olam means eternity. It means vanishing point, from vanishing point to vanishing point. The Bible teaches us that God has placed eternity in our heart. It's the same word, olam, from vanishing point to vanishing point. There is no true atheist because God, intuitively, God has placed eternity in man's heart. This is the word here. Notice what the Bible says. Because man goeth to his eternal home. Man is going to his eternal home. Now, you need to know, friend, you're going to die one day, and you either have a destiny in heaven or you have a destiny in hell. And by destiny, I don't mean that it is chosen for you, that God chooses some to go to heaven and God chooses some to go to hell. That choice is not God's. That choice is yours. You either can go to heaven or you can go to hell based upon your own human free will. You can choose to not listen to the word of God. You can choose to deny the faith. You can choose to reject the message of salvation. And as a result of your own human free will, you will die lost without God and you will spend an eternity in hell. So you need to choose today. Choose who you are going to serve. Are you going to serve self? Are you going to serve Satan? Are you going to serve the world? Or are you going to serve God and give your life to God? You need to know. You need to be able to say, it is well with my soul, because death is approaching and there is a destiny that awaits, because man goeth to his long home. Man is going to his eternal home. Notice what happens when man goes to his eternal home. Look at verse 5. The Bible says the mourners will go about the streets. Now think about this for a moment. When you die, there are people who are going to weep for you. And listen now. Those people that's going to weep at your funeral, they may be sitting in the room with you right now. The people that you love the best, your friends and your family, those people may be sitting with you right now. If you're listening on your phone, you're driving down the road with a friend, that person may be the person that is weeping for you. You may be in your home today with your family. It's going to be those people that is going to be weeping for you. You need to know this today, that the flowers that are on display in the window may be the very flowers that is bought for your funeral and placed by your grave. You do not have the promise of tomorrow. The Bible says you're going to your long home. You're going to die one day. Death is awaiting you. There is a destiny that is awaiting. You're going to your eternal home, and the mourners are going to come about in the streets. And tomorrow's sun may be the very sunshine that's falling on your gravesite. Oh, friend, do you know the Lord today? Do you know that there is a destiny that is awaiting? They say that there's a grave somewhere in Indiana. And I'm from that area. I've never personally seen it, but they say that there is a cemetery in Indiana, and there is a tombstone that's over 100-something years old, and it bears these words on the marker. It says, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Now, there was a person that passed by and read those words. And so they decided to etch another line on this man's gravestone. And this is the words that he placed underneath the gravestone. "To follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went." Friend, where are you going when you die? Do you know that there is a solemn destiny awaiting all of us? One man said, "The saddest thing from birth to sod is a dying man who knows not God." And I added, "Note the path that you trod and prepare to meet thy God." You say, why is it important for me to say, "It is well with my soul"? Listen, because death is approaching. There is a destiny that is awaiting. And last of all, because delay is alarming. It's alarming to me. It's alarming to preachers. It's alarming to evangelists and missionaries. Why people will delay. What's holding you back today from trusting in Christ? What's holding you back from bowing your knee and calling upon the Lord? Listen to what the Bible says, Amos chapter 4, verse 12. "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Prepare to meet thy God. Listen, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, "And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Listen to Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Are you hearing that today? Every single person listening with the sound of my voice, there's going to come a time you're going to give an account unto God. Your delaying in trusting Jesus Christ is alarming to me. It is shocking to me, because there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain. Maybe that's why Solomon says in verse number 1, "Remember." Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember. When I think about the word remember, now the word remember means more than just to think about something. The word remember here means to pay attention. It means to pay attention to something. It means to commit to the point of absolute obedience. That I have mused upon this, I have meditated on this long enough that I have decided to follow God. That's what the word remember means. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. I believe Solomon's use here of verse number 1 is Matthew chapter 6's version of, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Are you listening this morning? Why should I say, it is well? It is well with my soul. Because death is approaching. Because there's a destiny that is awaiting all of us. And to delay is very alarming. It's very shocking to me. Why you would gamble on life. Why you would roll the dice and gamble on life. Knowing that there is a death that is approaching. You know, to remember God as a creator in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. To remember God, the Creator, involves at least four things. And I'm going to close with this. It shows us four things, and I want you to listen to this. First of all, recognition. To remember implies recognition. He says, remember thy Creator. Notice what the Scripture says. Remember thy Creator. Solomon is acknowledging that God is the creator of man, that God's the creator of all things. And in our daily life, in our dark days, in our days of death, in our days of sorrow, in our difficult days, the days we talked about, we are to remember that God is our creator. He says, remember. It implies recognition. Second of all, it implies recollection. The word remember here means to recall or to recollect all that God has done for us. And you know, I look back on life and I see all that God's done for me. And I see how God has blessed me and God has encouraged me. God's helped me through the difficult days. God has helped me through dark days. Well, God has even helped me through those dying days. When I was holding the hand of my mother and the hand of my father with my family surrounded around us, God was there. I am to remember, that is, I am to have recognition that God is our creator. I'm to have recollection. I'm to remember that all that God has done for me. But there's another meaning to the word remember, and that's the word reflection. We are to remember. That is, I am to reflect and to meditate on the power and the presence and the promises of God and God's purpose for my life. Listen, friend, don't be discouraged today. Let me encourage you. God has a purpose and a plan for all this that's going on. I don't understand it. I don't claim to know it. But I do know this. He's not asleep at the wheel. He is sovereign in the lives of men and women. And he sees exactly what we're going through. And God says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I want you to remember during those dark days, during those difficult days. I want you to remember that I am God and that I am with you. There's recognition, there's recollection, there's reflection upon the power and the presence of God. And then last of all, here's another definition of remember. Not only recollection, not only reflection, but how about the word report? I am to go and tell others about the amazing story of Jesus and his love. Do you know what Horatio Spafford did in the days following the death of his family, the destruction of his business? They say he moved to Jerusalem and he lived his life there in Jerusalem and he was ministering to Muslims and Jews, trying to tell them about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Because Horatio Spafford realized we need to do more than just remember. We need to do more than just reflect, but we need to rehearse and we need to report in the ears of others. As the wonderful hymn said, that one day the sky is going to roll back as a scroll, and the trumpet shall sound, and Christ shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? Preacher, why should it be well with my soul? Because death is approaching, destiny is awaiting, and delaying is alarming to me. Will you put your faith and your trust in Christ today, friend? Right where you're at, will you bow your head and call upon the Lord and ask God to save you today? During your most difficult days, God is there. During your dark days, God is there. And even during those dying days, with your death, the death of a loved one, somehow, some way, God is in the midst, and God gives grace. God gives grace. Is it well with your soul? You say, preacher, no, it's not. It's not well with my soul. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never asked the Lord to come into my heart, and I certainly would like to do that today. Friend, if you'll pray this prayer with me, I'll be glad to lead you. Listen, salvation, there's no formula in the words. It's simply you praying a prayer of faith and belief and trust to God, that you believe within your heart that Christ died for you, that he died on an old rugged cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again for your justification. And just like Christ has risen from the grave, one day Christ is coming after you. That's why Solomon says, remember the Creator in the days of our youth. In the days ahead, our bodies will grow older. Our bodies will suffer sickness and pain and turmoil. And ultimately, it will lead us to the grave and we will die. Where will you spend eternity when you go to your eternal home? Is your eternal home heaven, or is your eternal home hell? You say, I want my eternal home to be heaven. Then pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with me right where you're at. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, into my life, and to forgive me of my sins. Help me to live this life that you have given me. I believe on the name of Jesus for my salvation. I trust Christ today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, friend, if you've prayed a prayer of faith, if God has done something in your life, I want to know about it. Would you put it in the message box if you're watching on Facebook? Would you email us? Email me today at pastor@parkwaybaptist.me. I'd like to know what God's doing in your life. I would love to share that with our church family. I would love to rejoice with you and pray with you. I want to know if God's working in your heart and your life. So email me today. We've got a link on our website under the iConnect tab. It's a prayer request form. And you can go in there and fill out that form. It'll be emailed to us. And I've been getting several of those. And in my personal life,
thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.